Exodus chapter 14, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 8, we'll read through verse 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hereth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Let's pray. Lord, we sure do thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to stand behind this pulpit, Lord. Thank you, God, that we live in America where we still have the freedom, Lord, to preach your word. God, where we still have the freedom to come to church and hear your word preached, God. Now, Lord, I pray that you would take this message tonight. Lord, I just want to be able to help some folks tonight, and I pray that you would prepare my heart, Lord, as far as me delivering the message. God, help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. And, Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here we have the story of the children of Israel just made their grand exit out of the land of Egypt, and it seems like they, you know, they got a pretty good victory coming out of Egypt. I'm sure they were pretty excited. Here they just left the land of Egypt where they were in bondage for 400 years. They were in bondage. And now they just left Egypt. Not only did they leave Egypt, they didn't leave empty-handed. God allowed the Israelites to spoil the Egyptians as they left. I've often thought about that. Hey, don't you think that's kind of weird? You go to someone's door, knock on the door, and say, God told me to come and take all your money and all your gold, and they willingly give it to you. but that's what happened. It was a miracle of God. God hardened the hearts of the Egyptians, and Israel spoiled the Egyptians and then exited the land. And probably, you know what? They're probably thinking, you know what? Man, we got this thing with. We just left Egypt. We're on our way to freedom. We're on our way to the promised land. But uh-oh, look what happens. They get stuck by the Red Sea. And, you know, maybe to them the Red Sea, you know, at the time wasn't that big of a problem because the Bible says they set up camp there. But when they heard the earth thunder and looked behind them and saw the Egyptians, yeah, then they realized there was a problem. And tonight, I've titled the sermon this, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Now, you know, I'm sure I probably stole this title from another sermon. I'm sure I have. I know I've heard this. In fact, this may be one of Pastor's sermon titles I'm stealing tonight. But it fits our message, so that's the title of our sermon tonight. What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And Derek, you need to especially pay attention because Friday night, buddy, it's going to be your theme right here. What to do when you don't know what to do. So, I'll tell you. Yep. I remember how it was, man, I tell you. We'll make sure you get a copy of this tape tonight. So. What to do when you don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there where it seems like you're going through life and you hit an obstacle, and we're famous for saying this, you know what? I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. Before we get into the message, I want to scan through the passage here, and I want to make three observations through this text. First of all, let's look at verse number 8. The first part of that verse says, And the Lord harden the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. First, observation number one, God will allow us to be put in difficult situations. Folks, you might as well get a hold of that now, that when you go through life, God will allow you to be put in difficult situations. Now, look who hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. God made Pharaoh, by hardening his heart, chase after Israel. So first of all, realize that. Realize, you know, if you'll realize that, you won't always think that something's always out to get you all the time. Because you know what? Life's full of hard problems. You know, it's like what the bumper sticker I saw said the other day. Life's hard, then you die. Which, I don't know if it's quite that bad, but... But life is full of difficult situations. And God will allow our life... us to encounter some difficult situations. Observation number two. Most difficult situations come in the form of the world or uncontrollable circumstances. Let's look at verse number 9. It says, but the Egyptians pursued after them. Who is Egypt a picture of in the Bible? A picture of the world. And also, let's look at the bottom of the verse. It says, and overtook them, where? Encamping by the sea. Uncontrollable circumstance. Israel had no control of whether the fact they couldn't part the sea. They were stuck. They were stuck between the sea and the world pursuing them. Most of the problems we have in our life come from the world and uncontrollable circumstances. The Bible says in Matthew 13:21, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. This is talking about in the parable of the word of God, the parable of the different seeds. It says, for, listen to this, when tribulation cometh. When?
Right.
It's coming, folks. It's part of life. Tribulation and sorrow is part of life. John 16:33 says, in the world ye shall have tribulation.
That's right.
Doesn't say you might. It doesn't say you hopefully won't. It says ye shall.
Yes, it does.
If you're the type of Christian you ought to be, if we're living the Christian life with the way we ought to live it, we'll have tribulation. Jesus promised it. You know, if you're living a pretty rosy Christian life, I would examine my Christian life. Because the Christian life isn't rosy. It's not a bed of roses. Now, we can have a victorious Christian life, but it's not going to be problem free. But the rest of that verse says in John 16:33, it says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Isn't that exciting? You know, Jesus, I always like the way he finishes verses. He'll tell us something, and then he almost a lot of times will give us a promise to back that up. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. You know, that's good, isn't it? That's something to get you excited about, because, you know, the Lord has overcome the world for us. I knew a person one time, and they were real big in this contemporary Christian music. And they were bragging to me one day about how their favorite contemporary Christian music song had made the charts of all the local radio stations. And they were thinking how great that was, that, you know, that their contemporary Christian song was so good to hit the charts of the world. But I started thinking to myself, why would the world want their music? You know what? I've never heard a Christian or a worldly radio station ever want to try to play Amazing Grace. Yeah, you've never scanned through the dials before and heard Amazing Grace play on those stations. There's a reason why the world, why they took that music. Folks, the world's going to give us problems. You know, a Christian's goal should not necessarily be to change the world. You know, a lot of times we'll hear this preaching, you know, we as Christians, we need to change the world. Do you realize something? When Jesus Christ comes and sets up his millennial reign on this earth, and he will personally be reigning here for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us that in Jerusalem, he will sit and he will personally reign in his body on here on the earth. Do you realize at the end of that 1,000 years, when Satan is loosed from his prison, the Bible says that he gathers a multitude as the sand of the sea, innumerable, that's going to fight against Jesus. Jesus Christ himself ruling on this earth won't be able to change the world. A Christian's goal shouldn't be to change the world, but to keep the world from changing them. Because by keeping the world from changing us, we'll be able to touch some lives and change some lives. But just understand right now, you know what? We're not going to change the world. It's prophesied in Scripture. You look in the book of Revelation, look who fights at the end fights against Jesus. The world. Millions of them. The Bible says it's the sand of the sea. They're innumerable. You can't number. And if Jesus Christ himself ruling on this earth won't be able to change and affect everybody because they're not going to be willing to be changed by him. then we're not going to change the world, but we should keep the world from changing us.
Amen.
That's a true test of a Christian, whether or not the world changes you. So remember that. The fact that we're not necessarily supposed to change the world, but the world's supposed to change us. So I said observation number one, God will allow us to be put in difficult situations. Observation number two, most difficult situations come in form of the world or uncontrollable circumstances. Observation number three, difficult situations have a tendency to produce fear. Isn't that? Look at verse number 10 here. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't blame the Egyptians. If I was there, I'd probably be afraid too. Who wouldn't be afraid? Here you are, you're facing the Red Sea, and you look behind you. Here's an army, a bloodthirsty army ready to come to kill you.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be afraid? Difficult situations have a tendency to produce fear. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? I'd say Israel was in a place where they didn't know really what to do. They you know, to them, their circumstances were the fact where, I mean, they just did not know what to do. So here's the message tonight. What to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, let's look at verse 10. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
Amen.
The first thing we should do when we don't know what to do is cry unto the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the Lord should be the first person we go to when we face a problem in our life. You know, God wants to help you with your problem, but I'm afraid a lot of us, when we face a problem, we want to go to people first.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a point where we need to go to people for help, but you know, the first person we should go to is to the Lord.
Amen.
Look what Israel did. They cried unto the Lord.
Amen.
Let's turn over to Psalms 25. I want you to see these couple verses here. Psalms 25. This is a scripture song we sing in our Christian school. Song 25, verses 1 and 2. For your sake and my sake, I'm not going to sing it tonight, but let's read it. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Folks, when we hit these difficult problems in our life, when we come to a place where we don't know what to do, let's cry unto the Lord. He wants to help us. You know that God wants to hear from us in times of trouble. You know, sometimes you just need to get alone and with your voice cry out to God. You know, sometimes God brings us to a point where we just need to get out, get away from all our circumstances, and go out somewhere and just cry into God. Talk to Him like who He is. He's our Heavenly Father. Folks, do you realize prayer doesn't just have to be a time of where you sit and meditate? You know, prayer should be a time where you actually go out and you voice your prayers to God. He wants to hear those. You know, I think of Pastor Jerry of several years ago when we had an all-night prayer meeting at Bill Rice Ranch. We went up to we were hungry for God to do something in our youth group. And we wanted to see God do something that year. So, you know what we did? We went out and we went up to the grave of Dr. John R. Rice and Dr. Bill Rice. We had a prayer meeting. And we cried out to God. And God heard us. You know, I think about those times in our lives where we need God and we pray out to Him, we call out to Him. You know what? And God hears us. I remember learning from Pastor Jerry as a teenager in our youth group. When we got ready to start a soul winning program. Before we started a soul winning program, he taught us in Matthew about the parable where Jesus said, these come not out forth except by prayer and fasting. He taught us how to pray and fast. I remember those times. Those times where we learn to get a hold of God. Folks, if you want God to help you in your life, you're going to have to get a hold of God. You're going to have to cry out. You're going to have to talk to Him. God wants to hear from you. Sometimes He puts us in those situations so that we'll call and cry out to Him. God wants to hear from you. You know, God shouldn't just hear from us before our meals or before a bedtime prayer or something like that. That's not prayer. Folks, God wants to hear from you. Number one, what to do when you don't know what to do? Cry out to the Lord. Number two, what to do when you don't know what to do? Seek the man of God. Let's look at verse 11. Turn back here to, let me get my place back here in Exodus chapter 14 here. Verse 11, it says, and they said unto Moses. You know what? After they cried unto the Lord, they looked at their spiritual leader for help. You know, I think that's a good thing to do when you don't know what to do. Get to the man of God.
Right.
Because he said, why should I go to the man of God? Because he has a better perspective on things. Look what Israel wanted to do back here in verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They were whining. Whining to Moses. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? I can almost hear the children of Israel whining to Moses. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Poor Israel whining to Moses. They were in a problem, and they looked to the man of God. But you know why they looked to the man of God? Because he had a better perspective on things. Look what Moses told them. Do you think Moses coddled them? Moses didn't coddle the children of Israel. And, he didn't say poor little babies and stroke their head. Look what he said to them, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. We need to get to the man of God because he's got a better perspective on things. Because God has allowed him to experience things that we haven't experienced. When we face a problem, we don't know what to do. Get to the man of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, we need to seek our pastor's counsel. He knows. He's a lot wiser than us. Proverbs 12:15 says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You say, you know what? I don't know how to be wise. I don't know necessarily, you know, when I come to things in my life, hey, you know, how can I be a wise person? Seek counsel from a man of God. Because he's got a better perspective on things than we do. Moses told him in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, he will show you this day. Moses had the formula for success. He did. And our pastor has a formula for success. Why? Because he always points people to Christ. Anytime you got anyone pointing people to Jesus and teaching them through the Word of God and helping them by the Bible, they have the formula for success.
Amen.
What do I do when I don't know what to do? Number one, crying to the Lord. Number two, seek the man of God. You know, I can almost picture Moses in modern day vernacular. This is what Moses would have said. And Moses said unto the people, quit worrying, fear ye not. It says, stand still. I wonder why he said stand still. Calm down. You know, they were probably all worrying and with that many people, you know, they could have caused a mass stampede. He says, well, wait a minute. Fear not, quit worrying, stand still, calm down, and trust God. See the salvation of the Lord. Trust God. So what do I do when I don't know what to do? Number one, cry to the Lord. Number two, seek the man of God. Number three, think about the fact that the war is already won. Let's look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You realize this verse here is a picture of salvation. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. There was nothing they could do to save themselves. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. They couldn't do anything. And look what Moses told them. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. Just like salvation. Nothing we can do to get us to heaven. Nothing. Not one thing. All we can do, the Lord fights for. He's already fought the battle. Think about the fact that the war is already won. Folks, we may experience battles in this life, but the war has already been won for us. We know what it says in the back. We know what the Bible says. We understand the fact that ultimately we're going to win.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind next time you're going through a hard time. What we face now on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. Nothing whatsoever.
Amen.
One of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to look back at what we called, what we thought maybe were trials, and they're going to be a drop in the bucket compared to eternity.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I like about God. Look what he does for us. He lets us take about approximately 70 years of our life. And if we'll invest that 70 years in our life for him, he will bless us for all eternity. That's a pretty good trade, don't you think? 70 years for eternity? Keep that in mind. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see these verses too. Revelation chapter 21. I don't see how a saved person can read this chapter in Revelation, chapter 20 and 21, and not feel the Holy Spirit of God in their heart. These are chapters in the Bible that should do something for you as a Christian. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Look what we got to look forward to. Don't you think a few trials and tribulations we had to face here is worth it? Don't you think it's worth it to stay faithful to God? But look what he has in heaven. Do you realize that we will be known in heaven for what we do on earth? Did you realize that? Did you realize people will be able to look at you in heaven and know what kind of Christian you were on this earth? Yes. You say, what makes you think that? Daniel 12:3, listen to this verse. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Amen.
You know, I really believe something. I believe that the type of Christian that we were on earth will be visible to everyone in heaven. People won't have to ask in heaven what kind of Christian you were on earth. They'll just be able to look at you and tell.
Amen.
Folks, it's worth it. It's worth it to do what we should do down here.
Amen.
Because eternity's coming, folks. And probably when I was growing up here in this church, one of the things that helped me the most was Pastor Ross preached a sermon called Keep One Eye on the Judgment. I've never forgot that sermon. Never. You know, when I was in college and I wanted to maybe do some things I shouldn't have done maybe, or was facing some decisions, what should I make? I thought of that sermon. Keep one eye on the judgment. Folks, eternity's coming.
Yes,
what a train. Well, you know, I wonder what part in eternity, how far it will take for us to realize that it was worth it to serve the Lord. Maybe 1,000 years. Well, it'll take 1,000 years for us to realize, you know what? These few years down here on earth were worth it. You know, maybe for some it'll be 10, maybe it'll be 1,000,000 years. But some point in eternity, we're going to realize, you know what? It was worth serving God down here. It was worth it. What to do when you don't know what to do? Think about the fact that the war is already won. Think about eternity. Keep that in mind. That will encourage you a little bit. Next, what to do when you don't know what to do? Keep doing what's right. Let's look at verse 15. Let's go back here to Exodus and look at verse 15. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Did you hear that? That they go forward. You know what? God didn't tell Moses for the people to stop, for them to stop and lick their wounds. God didn't tell Moses to tell the people to go back and wallow in self-pity because they didn't know what to do and they were facing a hard time in life. No, he said, look what he told them to do. Go forward. Go forward. Keep doing what's right. Don't let trials of our life cause us to backslide away from God. You know, at a time when you're most vulnerable as a Christian is when you're going through hard times and trials. That's when Satan's going to try to attack you the most, because he realizes that your flesh is weak. You're going through some problems. But you know what? That's the time when God says, go forward. Don't backslide during trials. Keep going. Keep going forward. I like that. Go forward. Where were they going to go? They didn't know how they were going to go forward. But God just told them to go forward.
Amen.
You know, and God told them to go forward before he told Moses to part the sea. You know, a lot of times that's what the Christian life is. It's faith. We don't necessarily know how it's going to happen. We just need to obey.
Amen.
And you know, that's so hard for us as humans, isn't it? It's hard. Because you know what? As humans, we want to be able to figure things out on our own. We want to be able to see, now how can we make this work? You know, how are we going to make it? How are we going to figure it out? But you know what? Sometimes God just tells us you go and I'll figure it out. That's where faith comes in play. That's where we got to have faith.
Amen.
Keep doing what's right. What to do when you don't know what to do? Just keep doing what's right.
Amen.
Just keep doing. When you're facing a hard time in your life, a trial or something like that, don't make any rash decisions then. Just keep faithful. Keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. And when you get through that, don't make any major changes in your life when you're facing a hard time. Because a lot of times that's when Satan will come in and he'll try to deceive us. Keep going forward. Keep doing what's right.
Amen.
You know, last Wednesday, my grandpa was in the hospital last Wednesday. And me and Levi come up there and saw him. And he was talking to us and he was telling us what the doctor said to him. I'll never forget what he said. He says, you know what? He says, I don't care what those doctors say. I got someplace to be come June 7th, and I'm going to be there. Talking about vacation Bible school. He said, no, I'm serious. I don't care what they tell me. I've already told them I got to be out of this hospital by June 7th. And it looks like he's going to be, so praise the Lord. So, but you keep on going. It doesn't matter. You just keep on going.
Amen.
So what do I do when I don't know what to do? You keep going forward. You know, sometimes a purpose of trials in our life is to draw us closer to God. You know, sometimes, you know, all of us sometimes we need a jump start. You know, sometimes we'll be going along and we'll slow down a little bit. You know, so we just need a jump start sometimes. We need a spray of ether in us sometimes, you know. We got to keep going. And sometimes that's what trials are. A little squirt, God squirts a little ether on us, you know. A jump start, keep us going, you know. And that's what trials do. The purpose of trials is to draw us closer to God.
Sure it is.
And to test our faith.
Right.
You know, I mean, God wants to see how much we love Him. We say we love God, let's prove it. God says, you say you love me, I want to see how much you love me.
Amen.
You know, that's just like what happened with Job. Satan had permission from God to test Job. Why? Because God wanted to see if Job really loved him the way he said he did. And a lot of times that's what the purpose of trials are to draw us closer to God. 1 Peter, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Let's read a few verses here in 1 Peter. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the reason for trials. So that when Jesus comes, we won't be ashamed. So when he comes, we won't be found wanting. You know, when Jesus comes back to get us, you know, I want to be able to look him in the face and say, you know what, I did my best for you, Jesus. I did the best I could do. Yes, life was hard and I faced some things, but you know what, I kept going. And that's the purpose of trials.
That's right.
To purify us so when we do see Christ, we'll be ready for it. So what to do? What to do when you don't know what to do? Number one, cry unto the Lord. I said number two, seek the man of God. Number three, think about the fact that the war is already won. Number four, keep doing what's right. And last of all, what to do when I don't know what to do? Remember, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him, folks. It's not about us. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. And I, behold I, this is God talking here, and I, behold I, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. This is why God allowed this to happen. And I will get me honor unto Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. You know, the purpose for all that was not only to help the Israelites face their problems and their trials, but was to give honor to God. And you know, folks, when you're facing a hard time, remember something. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. It's not about us, folks. It's about Him. That's why we face everything we face, because it's all about Jesus. It's all about God and Him getting honor and glory. Everything we face, everything we endure, every hardship in life that is brought our way, it's all about honoring God. It's all about to bring honor and glory to Him. It's all about who maybe can get saved because of this. Because of you seeing them seeing you go through life and having a good attitude about it and staying faithful to God to bring honor to Him. Don't you want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
Yes.
Don't you want to hear that? Isn't that the desire and heartbeat of your heart?
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things in life that, you know, we need and we have to accomplish. But the heartbeat of our hearts, the desire of our hearts should be to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Not every Christian will hear that. In fact, probably out of all the people that say they're saved, and maybe they really are saved, they're so as saved by fire.
Yes.
Probably there's not going to be a large percent that hear that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. At least I believe out of maybe our generation we're living in now. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen to Revelation 4:11. This is what it says. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Folks, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him getting praise and glory and honor. That's what it's about. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now I want to hear that one of these days, don't you? Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear him say, look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary for him to say that. You just have to be faithful. You know, in the parable, it talks about when he's rewarding those with the talents, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't say great and mighty servant. It says good and what? Faithful. Good and faithful. Those are the two requirements. Being good. You know, when you're good at something, doesn't necessarily mean you're great at a lot of things. God doesn't require us to be great at a lot of things. He just wants us to be good and faithful. Amen. Faithfulness. Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Number one, you cry unto the Lord. Number two, you seek the man of God. Number three, think about the fact that the war is already run. Think about eternity. But when you face those hardships, you know, you don't need to go visit a psychiatrist. You don't need to go, you know, get some antidepressant medicine. You know, you need to follow the principles of the Word of God. That's how we make it through these times. That's how we make it. Remember, crying to the Lord. When you're facing a hard time, crying to God. Seek the man of God. He wants to help you. We just need to seek his counsel. Think about the fact that the war is already won.
Yes.
Keep doing what's right. And last of all, remember, it's all about Jesus. Everything we face is because it's to bring honor and glory to him. You know, I hope I helped you tonight. I didn't preach a real long time, but I wanted to help you. And you know, and I wanted to bring something to you that was on my heart. Something that maybe we can all use. Because one of these days, folks, we are going to face some hard times. And, you know, that's the purpose of preaching, is to help our lives. Well, what good is preaching if we can't apply it to our life and it help us? That's the purpose of preaching, so we can apply it to our life. Remember, though, when you face a hard time, that it's not for naught. It's not just because God's mad at you. It's not just because, you know, just because everyone is down on you. It's because God wants to accomplish something in our lives. He wants to bring honor and glory to him. Let's pray. Lord, I sure do thank you for a time to be able to come and preach tonight, Lord. And God, I pray that you would take your words, God, from your word. And God, I pray that you would use it, God. I pray that you would help someone who's going to be going through a hard time or who already is going through a hard time. God, to remember, Lord, that you'll help them, God. And it's all about giving you honor and glory. And Lord, we sure do thank you for all you've done. And Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for making everything we have possible. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.